Philippians 4:6, be careful for no thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. No thing. Well, I know you say it nothing, but I'm saying it no thing. Be careful for no thing. But in everything. Over 21 times in the book of Philippians, Paul talked about things. Look at the end of verse 8. He said, there's these things. That's what you ought to think on. Verse 9, he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In verse 13, he said, you want to know something? I can do all things. You may chuckle at my little title, but I like it. And I wasn't taking a vote on my title. It ain't nothing but a thing. I like it. It ain't nothing but a thing. Probably, you can go ahead and sit down. Sometimes I forget and just let the congregation stand with me. Then they're as ready for me to quit preaching as I am, see. Probably the happiest, highest, sweetest letter that Paul ever wrote was Philippians. There ain't not a negative thing in it. He said in chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I'm telling you, he's just bubbling over. In the book of Philippians, he was bubbling over. Joy and rejoice. Them two words just all through Philippians. Joy, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now you got to do that by faith. You don't do that by feeling. That always messed up some of you right there. Rejoice in the Lord always. He was sitting in a Roman dungeon. After over 20, 25 years of preaching the gospel and serving God, he was sitting in a Roman dungeon. I can hear some of you 21st century whiny Baptists now. Is this what I get after living for God? Come on now. Some of y'all get a phone bill higher than last month and you're ready to throw in the towel. Somebody forget to shake your hand at church and you'll pout for 3 months. I mean, ain't we pitiful? And he's sitting in a Roman dungeon, cut off from all that makes life good. And he's telling people, y'all ought to be shouting it out. That's what he's telling them. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He said, be careful for no thing. Careful. Full of care. That's what it means. Eat up with anxiety. He said, y'all not let no thing make you anxious. Fretful, fearful, doubting, depressed. Worrisome. Be careful for no thing. He said, I'm telling you, it ain't nothing but a thing. And he said, you can take everything and give it to God in prayer. It ain't nothing but a thing. I'm not going to preach this whole book. Isn't that comforting to your heart? But I do have a highlight out of each chapter. And sometimes I have preached the whole book in one sermon. But let me show you this, and I want to get on to chapter 4 and hit a main thought there, and then we'll be done this morning. But I want to highlight this. chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said, this trial that I'm going through, it ain't nothing but a thing. He was locked up in a Roman dungeon. Look in chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing. He said, sitting over there locked up in a Roman dungeon. He said, I tell you about this thing. He said, I'm confident. That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. How about that? He said in verse 12 of chapter 1, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. He said, it ain't nothing but a thing. This trial. I'm glad we can be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This trial you're in, it ain't nothing but a thing. God can handle it. You can be confident in that thing because he's carrying you. He started this thing. He'll finish this thing. He which hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. Underline that little word, perform. He will perform. Ain't you glad that God's performing this thing? Until the day of Jesus Christ, honey, when he calls us out and calls the church out, when God takes the church out, Revelation talked about in chapter 19, 20, and 21, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And the remembrance of these former things, there'll be no more sorrow, be no more pain, and the remembrance of them will be wiped away. It ain't nothing but a thing, and it'll pass. And until then, you can be confident he'll carry you. That's chapter 1. This trial, it ain't nothing but a thing. In chapter 2, he said, this treasure, it ain't nothing but a thing. All the treasure that the world lives for. Look in chapter 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own. Y'all a little slow here in Bowden. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. What about that? He said, all these treasures, it ain't nothing but a thing. In verse 5 through verse 11, one of the greatest passages on the description of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. This treasure that America's living for, it ain't nothing but a thing. Look at there in verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Oh, Epaphroditus in verse 25, you can study him down through verse 30. Said in verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. What about that? He gave his life to the Lord. He wasn't living for the things of this world. This treasure. It ain't nothing but a thing. I'm just touching these chapters and look in chapter 3. These trophies. They ain't nothing but a thing. Well, the world's got their prizes, don't they? Satan has his prizes. He came to Jesus in Matthew 4, tempting him, saying, if you'll just bow down and worship me, he said, I can give you the kingdoms of this world, the glory and the power and the fame thereof. Look what Paul did with his trophies in chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless. Now that right there is where some of you are going to get your joy. If you can just gear on up and get on over in that doubtless stuff. Y'all hanging on and holding out and fighting God and resisting God. And you're giving Him the big stuff but holding on to the little stuff. And you're living mostly by faith, but you got little areas of unbelief. You refuse to surrender. Honey, if some of you could get in that yea, doubtless business. Just sell out. Lock, stock, and barrel. Come on in, honey. The water's warm. Just dive off in the deep end. Get in that crazy faith. Come on over here. Quit messing around with that carnal faith. Jump in head over heels in that crazy faith. Give your sandals to God. Let's go down there in the temple and turn them over and let's let Eli have them. Take your Isaacs up on Mount Moriah and just be willing to kill them there. Glory to God. Pull an Abraham. Just tell everybody. Bye. We go. Have no idea where we're going or when we're going to get there or what it's going to look like when we get there. But we heard the call of God and we're following God. Yea, doubtless. He said, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all. I'm telling you, Paul knew something. He said these trophies. He knew something about ambition and pride and success and being number one. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew about all that. He said it ain't nothing but a thing. He said, for whom I, at the end of verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. I'm doing my best to find a way to preach a message on that dung. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? If I could find a title, boy, we could have fun with that. You ain't supposed to talk about that on Sunday morning, but Paul was talking about it. He said, all these things that the world lived for, he said, I've counted it as done. We could have fun with that, but we better behave. Just know this, the trophies that the world gives out, honey, let them give out their Oscars and their Emmys and their Nobel Peace Prizes. I'm looking for the judgment seat of Christ. Well, all the Hollywood and all the heathen are roasting in hell. Their little Oscars are going to melt in the lake of fire. But yonder in that glory world, honey, the good shepherd's going to be handing out crowns. And he's so gracious to us, he don't even make you hardly do anything to earn one. He said, everybody that looks for my appearing, I'm going to give you the crown, the same one I'm giving Paul. Just be faithful, he said, and I'll give you a crown. These trophies. But I'm not wanting to preach chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. I want to look at chapter 4. And I want to say this. This trial, Paul said, it ain't nothing but a thing. This treasure, it ain't nothing but a thing. These trophies, it ain't nothing but a thing. He said down here in chapter 4, this trouble, he said it ain't nothing but a thing. Be careful for nothing. What a statement. That delivers here in America with all of our disorders and dysfunctions. And I'm not making light. I do believe there's demons in this land, honey, and there's depressions. There are anxieties. There are things of that nature. There is a black cloud of devils hanging out over the American landscape. Sin and Satan has bred insanity and insecurity on every hand. But I'd like for you to know something today. That trouble you're facing, it ain't nothing but a thing. I'm glad the Bible deals in absolutes, ain't you? He said, be careful for no thing. I just got right there settled. No exceptions, no asterisks, no footnotes. I'm glad he didn't say, be careful for nothing except a few things, you know, that'll really knock you over. No, he just said, be careful for nothing. Kind of reminds me of the language of the Apostle Paul at the end of Romans chapter 8. I ought to be able to quote it, but I hadn't read my Bible since the 80s real good, so I'm teasing. Romans 8, them last few verses, Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And listen to this. Who to separate us from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, there it is again. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, here's the good stuff, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Now, he's covering a lot of ground. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm telling you, there ain't no thing that you need to fret about. It ain't nothing but a thing. Here's a little thoughts I'm going to lay out to you out of chapter 4. Several little thoughts. Number one's in verse 6. I want to say, nothing can stop you. Underline that phrase, be careful for nothing. And know this, nothing can stop you. There is no thing that Satan can cook up in hell's laboratory and send your way that can stop you. That's why you ain't got to be scared of nothing. Be careful, be full of care and anxiety for no thing. Is that good to know? There ain't nothing can stop you. Death or life. That's what Paul started out saying. Neither death nor life. Well, honey, out there covers it all, don't it? Nothing on that side of the grave and nothing on this side of the grave. That's pretty good. Neither death nor life. Nothing in this life and nothing after this life. Well, that right there just ought to dump about a ton of comfort down in your weary soul. Be careful for no thing. Nothing can stop you. Joshua looks at them Jericho walls and he's sitting over there surveying that in the early morning hours. And I've no doubt he was wondering, what in the world am I going to do with these walls? But then he looked and there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. That was the Lord, I believe. And old Joshua asked and said, are you for us or for them? And I love the way the Lord ignores our foolish questions. Just goes right by. He answered, nay. That always tickled me. That's not an answer to that question. Did you notice that? Are you for us or for them? No. The reason that answer didn't make any sense was because he wasn't going to deal with that question. God does not answer our questions most of the time. He don't need to. He's already got the answer. He ain't worried about your questions. That captain was the answer. Why deal with questions not pertinent to, relevant to the situation? Are you for us or for them? The Lord knew that didn't matter. He knew He was for. He was running the whole crowd. He said, I'm captain. That was an answer. He said, as captain of the host, Lord, I'm here. I'm running both sides. I'm captain. I'm in charge of both. It would have done Joshua well. Not to think about his question, but to think about the Lord's statement. I'm here as captain. So quit asking things that don't matter. And the Holy Ghost would say to some of y'all this morning, drop your questions. Some of you need to get on this altar and lay your questions down. Quit questioning God. And just listen for statements from heaven. Stuff like, I'm captain. Well, that's a good enough answer. If some of y'all could get some answers from God, you could give up those questions. Where are you, Lord? Why is this happening, Lord? What's going on, Lord? Real faith can give up questions. Be careful for nothing, fretful. Fearful? Give up your questions. Why did this happen? How's this going to work out?
don't need to bother worrying yourself with questions. God has the answer. God is the answer. God's standing there in the middle of your situation with a big answer. Don't worry about questions. He don't need to hear your questions to show up with an answer. He knows you got problems. He's there in the middle of the thing. Moses took the children of Israel out, and they came up to the Red Sea. And there it was, that great old big Red Sea. And here come Pharaoh and his army behind them. And the people of God began to ask questions. What in the world are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How's this going to work out? What thinks to happen? They looked at Moses. Why'd you drag us out here? And them questions got more and more stupid as they went. They'd grown for 400 years. Deliver us. Hadn't been delivered 4 hours. Why did you bring us out here? Well, we can come up with dumb questions, can't we? And Moses answered them over in Exodus. He said, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No need for questions. Just stand still. Now that text is an interesting study. It's Exodus 13 or 14, somewhere over there. I read my Bible in the 80s. They were already at a standstill when he told them to stand still. They were standing still, but they wasn't doing it still. Let me say it like this. They were at a standstill, but they weren't standing still. They had come up to the Red Sea and couldn't go forward. There were 2.5 million of them. They couldn't go right or left. The army was behind them. They were already at a standstill, but they weren't standing still. They were at a standstill, but there was no stillness in their soul. What Moses was saying, stand still. And what God likes to say to some of y'all today, just stand there. Make you stand. Stand! Ephesians 6, having done all. There's coming an evil day, and having done all you can do, there's only one thing you've got left to do, and that's just stand. Stand. Now go ahead and stand. Don't die. Don't run back. Don't go to the left or right. Just stand. And then stand there in stillness. Let the peace of God calm you down. Stand still. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. How can you do that? Well, that other thing in verse 6 might help you. Be careful for no thing. All right, now how are we going to do that? There's some things that are just not easy to be worry-free of. Well, the next thing. But in everything, there's what to do with them things. How do you be careful for no thing? Take everything to God in prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Here's how you let no thing bother you. Take everything to God in prayer. And the next verse says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What about that? Nothing can stop you. And I want to say number two, everything can sanctify you. God allows things to come in our situation so we can go to God in prayer. And honey, that experience of prayer will get your heart right with God. It'll sanctify you. Nothing can stop you. And everything can sanctify you. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is about. In everything, give thanks in God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. He says here, everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now that's how you can overcome that first part. Be careful for no thing. Take everything to God in prayer. Let's look at these words. But in everything, by prayer. What is prayer? That's simply approaching God, communicating with God. And supplication, that's a strong plea for mercy. Sometimes it goes beyond the simplicity of simple prayer, and there's supplication. Strong plea for mercy. With thanksgiving. That ain't easy. With thanksgiving. Now, what are you going to do with them things? How can you be thankful for everything? Well, if you believe in a sovereign God who's running your daily life, you can be thankful for everything. I started off this year at a meeting in January in a camp meeting down in Florida. A pastor from Michigan, I believe it was Michigan, stood up and told this story of what happened to their family last year. He had a married daughter and she had children, a pastor. They had a little baby to die. This pastor stood up, he's in his 50s. He said, my daughter and her husband had a little infant. I think the baby was 4 months or 6 months. And the little baby died in its sleep. What do they call that? SIDS. They got up the next morning, the baby was dead. The coroner, down at the funeral home or down at the government office, the coroner had been mad at this church. Just some old heathenhood. Something had happened, and this coroner was angry at that pastor in that church. When that coroner got that little baby down there, she wrote on the death certificate, cause of death was suspicious. Out of spite. The government came that afternoon before they had the funeral for that baby. The government took the other three children away. Now, I don't know if you've had a bad day recently, but if you had a baby to die and before nightfall your other three kids taken from you, I don't know if days get much worse than that. The baby died that morning before the sun set that evening. The government had maliciously come and taken away those other three children. There was no foul play. It was just pure spite. He said, that looks suspicious to me. They took him other three little children. And before nightfall, they were gone. Put in foster homes. Doesn't that scare you to death? And that pastor said, we've been in a battle for several months now trying to get our children back. He said, our little baby was dead. And all of a sudden, our other children were snatched away. He said, what a trial. And I sat there and listened to this man telling the story. And we all just wept. They still didn't have the kids back. He said, it's been going on now, let me see if I can remember, several months. 3 or 4 months had been going on. He said, it was about 2 weeks into this thing. He said, I was riding down the highway, and he said, I was tore completely out of the frame for my grandbabies and my daughter, and our church was under persecution. He said, we didn't know where our other babies were. He said, and I was going down the highway, and the Holy Ghost said to me, you haven't thanked me for this. He said, I was saying, why, God? What are you doing, God? He said, and the Holy Ghost said, you haven't called me Lord, and you haven't thanked me for this. He said, I pulled over on the side of the highway. Stop! Right in the middle of the road, pulled over on the side of the highway. He said, I climbed out of my truck and got over in the ditch and got down on all fours and said, Lord, thank you. You're God. And you're good. And you took our baby. And you let our other babies be taken. And I don't know why you done it, but I want to thank you for doing all things well. Now, honey, that's faith right there. Only the Holy Ghost can help a man pray like that. He said, the Lord had told him, you hadn't called me Lord in this thing. He said, I had a shouting spell on the side of the road. He said, as soon as I called him Lord, I saw him as Lord and knew everything was going to be all right. He said, now, I got in my truck and drove home and said, and the phone rang. He said, we've been worried sick about them babies. He said, I answered the phone and a woman said, I'm not supposed to call you. And you ain't supposed to know this. She said, but I've got your children. And she said, I'm on the other side of town. She said, I want you to know that me and my husband are Christian. She said, well, I ain't supposed to call you, but I want you to know we're taking care of them. And here's who we are and here's where we are. And don't tell. He said, right after that, he said, God began to work and things began to turn. Said, and they delivered those three babies back over to the church. They didn't let them back in that home yet, but they let other families in the church keep the babies. And he said, this is back in January, he said, we think here in just a little while, in a week or two, this case will be settled and we'll have those kids back. He said, but church families have them right now. I'll never forget that old boy saying that. He pulled over on the side of the road and thanked God for that little baby dying and those other babies being taken. Now, honey, you're getting somewhere when you can bow down and say, not my will, but thine be done. And thy will is always right. Nothing can stop you. If you'll take everything to God in prayer, every little thing can sanctify you, draw you closer to God, and put the power of God on your life. Now, I close with this one. All things can strengthen you. Go down to verse 12. Verse 13. Read that for me, brother, and all these guys on the front row got these old man glasses on here.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound.
I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound.
Everywhere and in all things.
Everywhere and in all things.
I'm instructed both to be full and to
abound. It ain't nothing but a thing. He said, if God has heaped good things around me, I've learned how to serve Him in that. He said, if God has emptied me of all these things and I ain't got nothing, I've learned how to serve God in that. And then the next verse, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. Some of them things must be a challenge if it's going to take the strength of Christ to do it, to survive it, to live in it. I can do all things, no matter what those things are, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we remember what He said in 2 Corinthians 12. God has sent some things our way that we can't handle. My grace is sufficient for thee. For when I am, He said, I've learned this, when I am weak, then am I strong. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. A lot of things God allows in our life that are impossible. So we can say, Lord, I can't do this. And He can answer back, I'm glad to hear you say that. Been listening for you to say, I can't. Because until you get into I can't, you'll never know about I am. When you get into I can't, you move over into I am. I can't! God says, good. Glad you know that. You were in the way all that time you was trying. Now that you realize you can't and you've quit, let me step in and take over. Somebody pointed out the other year, old man was preaching. He said, that verse starts with I and ends with me. But in the middle of it is Christ. He said, the Lord The Lord knows all about you. I, me. He said, and what he does, he just gets in the middle of I and me. And he'll strengthen you. And all things can end up in their providential way strengthening you. Especially those things that are stronger than you. I can't. It ain't nothing but a thing. I tell you what will help you. Think on these things. Is that verse 8? These things can stir you. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if there be any, what do you say, virtue? See all them things in that verse? Think on these things. You know what would be good for you in the middle of your trial and your trouble? Think on these things. Paul's sitting in a Roman dungeon. Look what he was thinking about. He wrote one of the happiest books in the Bible. He had a little smiley faces written all over the wall of his dungeon. Huh? He was thinking on Christ. It'll help you in the midst of those impossible things to think on those heavenly things. And then he said, think on these things. See, these things can stir you. But then the next verse said, those things can safeguard you. Those things which you have both seen and heard and learned in me, do. You know why some of you are having such trouble living with these things? You've forsaken those things. Those things will safeguard you. How about instead of going to a country music concert to feel better, go to a revival meeting? Oh, I'm at Simon Bible, sister and that. Yeah. How about instead of trying the local gossips with your problem, try the local prayer warriors? How about instead of calling Oprah Winfrey or Dr. P. Howe, you plug into your pastor or your Sunday school teacher? I'm talking about those things. The Word of God at your disposal. Put down the horoscope and the most silly psychology manuals. Those things. The local church is here. You don't need all the foolishness the world offers. Get down here to the local church. Those things. That secret place is there if you'll just run to it. You may not need them pills as bad as you think you do if you can get in that secret place. Y'all see what I'm saying? Those things! Paul said, those things that I've given you and showed you and taught you. Our Sunday school teacher taught this morning on the old timers. They cleared out them old paths and they showed us where the good way was. Get over there in those things. That'll safeguard you. Hallelujah. It ain't nothing but a thing. Woo! He said, I can't hardly believe it's nothing but a thing. It feels like a lot more than just a thing. Honey, when we get to glory and cross over the other side and see His face, and He reaches up and wipes them tears away and ushers you into the joy of the Lord. And the remembrance of those former things will be all passed away. You know what? By the time you make that transition, you'll look back behind you and say, you know what? That wasn't nothing but a thing. And it's gone now. Woo! Where's my hound dog holler? I need him to shout. That man that shouts crazy, I like him. You need one shouter to scare all the first-time visitors right out of their skin. Or you ain't a real old-fashioned church. They need to think you're half crazy. Or you ain't shouted yet. Huh? Ain't nothing but a thing! When we see His face. I was in an old-fashioned Brush Arbor meeting last week, and an old man stood up. He's a grandpa. Boy, you grandpas, y'all are some mushy pushovers, you know it. Pitiful. He stood up slobbering, testifying on Thursday night, and here's what he said. He's from North Carolina, and he was in Georgia. He said, I called my 7-year-old granddaughter. It was her birthday. He said, and I asked her, what do you want for your birthday, honey? Grandpa's coming back home Friday. What do you want for your birthday? She told him. Then, before I hung up the phone, she said, "Grandpa," she said, "I changed my mind." Now, you fellas are going to get mushy on this one here on Father's Day. You better be glad Brother Ken ain't here. He'd chew you out for being a father. He won't know if you're a Christian. He wouldn't partake in your pagan holidays. She said, "Grandpa, I changed my mind." She said, "I don't want any presents." She said, "I just want to see you again." And this old fella stood up and said, he said, "You know something?" He said, "I've been here at this meeting all week asking the Lord for some things." He said, "I've changed my prayer." He said, "I'm telling the Lord tonight I don't need any of those things. I just want to see Him." And I was sitting over there and I thought, "Boy, Lord, I don't need anything. If I could just see your face for just a minute, everything would be all right." And one of these days, they shall see His face. And He ain't going away. We won't be living by faith, we'll be living by sight. And when we do all them things that we thought was going to be the end of us, we'll be saying it wasn't nothing but a thing. And I don't even remember it now. Some of you need to get on this altar and give these things to God. Some of you got some things you need to deal with this morning.